Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Susan. I am a recovered compulsive overeater and today is Thursday. Star one to mute, please. Today is Thursday, August 8th, 2024, and we are continuing to read from the Big Book in More About Alcoholism, page 37, the last paragraph. Our behavior is as absurd and incomprehensible through to the end of that paragraph, but in a few weeks, he breaks both legs. Today's readers are Sherry Z, or if you're from America, Sherry Z, who will read the text. Dion R, A Vision for You, and Margaret D is our backup. Our newcomer greeter is Alex K, and Leslie M will share announcements. The reference numbers for Wednesday, August 7th are, for the 10 a.m. Eastern, 21,639, and for this morning, Thursday, August 8th, the 7 a.m. Eastern, 21,641. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At the Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. I will now ask Patrick O. in Nashville, Tennessee, to please join us and read the 12 steps of OA. Good morning, Patrick.
Good morning. This is Patrick, compulsive eater in recovery. The steps of step one. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9. Made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for the knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we try to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you.
Thank you, Patrick O. in Nashville, Tennessee. I will now ask Kathy P. in Oregon to please read the 12 traditions of OA for us. Thank you, Kathy.
Thank you, Susan. Hi, the 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there has been but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. Six, an OA group never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise. Leaves problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. Seven, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Kathy. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you please keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. Today we are going to resume our study of the Big Book on page 37 in the chapter More About Alcoholism, the fourth paragraph. Our behavior is as absurd and incomprehensible through to the end of the paragraph, but in a few weeks he breaks both his legs. I would now like to invite Sherry Zed in California to please join us and begin reading and sharing her experience on this paragraph. Thank you, Sherry.
Thank you, Susan. Good morning. I'm Sherry Zed, or Z, recovered in Southern California, and we are on page 37 in More About Alcoholism, the very last paragraph. Our behavior is as absurd and incomprehensible with respect to the first drink as that of an individual with a passion, say, for jaywalking. He gets a thrill out of skipping in front of fast-moving vehicles. He enjoys himself for a few years in spite of friendly warnings. Up to this point, you would label him as foolish chap having queer ideas of fun. Luck then deserts him, and he is slightly injured several times in succession. You would expect him, if he were normal, to cut it out. Presently, he is hit again, and this time has a fractured skull. Within a week after leaving the hospital, a fast-moving trolley car breaks his arm. He tells you he has decided to stop jaywalking for good, but in a few weeks, he breaks both legs. So this is our third cautionary tale in this chapter of More About Alcoholism. The first one is The Man of 30, and if you're new, you can find that on page 32. And the second one is The Story of Jim, which is on page 35. And now we get to the jaywalker. And there's two words in this paragraph that really hit me in the kishkas, in my stomach, which is, you would think, absurd and incomprehensible. But the two words that really hit me are thrill and normal. Because when I ate, I got a charge. I got a thrill. Like, a jaywalker is an example that's absolutely absurd, except that a jaywalker that walks just to get a thrill is the way I ate. It's like, oh, I'm feeling anything. I need that thrill of something to soothe it. And what always baffled me was that I understood eating when I was sad, but I also ate when I was happy and excited and joyful because I couldn't deal with that thrill. I wanted that charge so bad to take off. I wanted that thrill, you know? And then the second word is normal. Now, it's not normal. And that word is thrown around all the time. What is normal? This is not normal. That is not normal. But what I've discovered in my recovery is that I have a mental twist. Does that mean that my mind is not normal? Yes. It's because I would do something as absurd as continue jaywalking even when I know it's dangerous. And that's what I did with the food. I knew, oh, I have an allergy to nuts, and I still ate nuts, carrying the EpiPen with me. That's not normal. That's a mental twist. Something is wrong. And so when I first read the story when I came into OA 35 years ago, I was like, what does eating have to do with the jaywalker? And today I know it has everything to do with the jaywalker. I did the same thing. I, because I wasn't normal, sought that thrill. And for today, by the grace of God, I'm not seeking it. I'm seeking peace, comfort, serenity, and freedom. So thank you for letting me share, and I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Sherry. Way to start us off. All right. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. And just a reminder where we are in case you came in a few minutes late. We are still in More About Alcoholism at the bottom of page 37. We're reading about the jaywalker. It's the last paragraph on that page. Our behavior is as absurd. So when you unmute to share, can you please give me your first name, last initial, and the state or country where you are calling from this morning? Okay, my pen is poised and I am ready. Roz G, please. Thank you, Roz.
Hi, Andrea in Ohio.
Thank you, Andrea, and you'll give us your last initial when you share. Thank you. Star one, if this is your
Jackie
third day.
Jackie B.
Jackie B for boy or D for dog?
D for delightful in Georgia.
D for delightful. I'm sorry. That was good. I see dogs walking past my window. Thank you. Who else?
Jeanette G.
And where are you
Deanna,
calling from, Jeanette?
California.
Thank you. Who else?
And Dion R. from Georgia.
Thank you, Dion. Okay, let's stop there. I have Roz G., Andrea, who will give us her last initial, Jackie D, Jeanette G, and Dion R. So if everyone could mute their line other than Roz G in California. Take it away, Roz. Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much. My name's Roz G. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Palmdale, California, which is in the county of Los Angeles. And there's a lot of ways that I can identify with the insane behavior of a compulsive overeater among other addictions that I have. And this morning, as I was listening to the share and looking at the big book, I was thinking, how crazy am I or was I and what did I do? And this morning I can think about the exercise patterns. I used to overeat and then exercise it off. And I would go to the gym and spend, you know, put the gym activities above other important elements of my life. When I was in my last college program, I did not graduate on time with my cohort because I went to the gym instead of going home to do my writing. And I was late with things, and it took me a whole semester to get, you know, I didn't graduate with my cohort, and that was so awful to watch them graduating while I was sitting at home crying because I put so many other things in ahead, especially the gym of my writing. So I put the gym ahead of my education. I put the gym and exercise ahead of my health. And doctors would tell me I had shoulder pain. And I would go to the doctor for the shoulder pain, and they would say, well, what are you doing? And I'd tell them, well, I'm boxing. Well, don't box. Find another exercise. And I would go to the gym and box. And I messed up my shoulders so bad that I got surgery a shoulder surgery, and it took me months to get the recovery from that. And then as soon as I was out of the sling, I was back at the gym doing bench presses. And it was as if God spoke to me and said, do you want to have an arm? And so I over-exercised by running on hard pavement without the correct footwear, and I messed up my heel. I had plantar fasciitis. I had surgery on that too. And I'm just thinking about, instead of eating an abstinent meal and following my food plan, I ate what I wanted to eat, expecting exercising and over-exercising to fix the problem. That is a crazy behavior. And today, yes, I go to gym, but I have an abstinent food plan, and my gym is my exercise is appropriate for a 60-year-old lady, a very low impact. So it took me a lot of pain and suffering and surgeries. Thank you to get it. So and I still have to ask God for help every day. Thank you, I pass.
Thank you, Ros G in Palmdale, California. Next, we have Andrea in Ohio. And Andrea, if you could share your last initial with us. Thank you.
Hi, Andrea BF in Ohio. Grateful to be here. And as I listened to this paragraph this morning, it just reminds me of, or what came to mind, you know, and usually I love the big book. I think the message is so great. But I really do kind of take issue with this specific sentence, because it seems as though they're comparing like jaywalking, like some menial activity, it's just insane that somebody would do something so crazy that really there's no benefit, and then they would risk their lives over and over again. But I think for me, I'm coming to realize it's not like jaywalking. It's something that my body, or somewhere deep within me, finds it to be like a really, it's like a protective mechanism. Eating is the only thing that, like, I would give my life up for it. Not because it's some stupid thing like jaywalking that makes no sense. It's because what it's doing for me, which is it's doing something for me that clearly nothing else can do unless I have a relationship with a higher power. But so it's like, I don't know if that really gives, if kind of like comparing it to jaywalking, it doesn't, for me at least, I don't get to see the full like power of this eating. Like it's been my solution to life for my whole life. And so I just wanted to kind of say that. So for me, the comparison is a little off if I just say, oh, yeah, it's just this silly, weird little thing, this eating. Why can't I stop? Well, because it has been my life-saving device. No wonder why I don't want to let it go. That's all. That's all I want to say. Thanks.
Thank you, Andrea. I think you said BF in Ohio. Next, we have Jackie D in Georgia. Thank you, Jackie.
Hi, everyone. Good morning. This is Jackie. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can. Thank you so much.
Okay, cool. Thank you. This is Jackie D in Georgia. Thank you all for being here for me this morning, and thank you for being here for me every single morning. This paragraph, like has been shared before, describes me. You know, I was that person who thought that I could continue to work out the way that I did. I mean, I was working out 3 hours a day, you know, every day, 7 days a week. And I would go to doctors, and the doctors would say, well, you need to stop doing this because you're hurting yourself. Oh, what do doctors know? Doctors don't know anything. He's just trying to keep me from being me. And so I would continue to work out the way that I did, thinking that I will get the result, which was to maintain my weight or to lose weight or be able to eat as much as I wanted to. And after years of doing this, and after years of realizing that it wasn't the exercise, no matter how much I exercised, as long as I ate the way that I ate, I was not going to change. All I was going to do was damage to my body. And when I get older, the one thing that I feared was going to come true, was that I was going to end up being in the wheelchair or having to use crutches or using the, you know, and nothing against anyone, but, you know, having to use the little scooters or anything like that. So after many years of doing this and after being told to Google it by my husband, I found out that there is an OA and that there is a way for me to be able to exercise moderately, still maintain my weight, eat like a decent human being, like a lady, and have a connection with my higher power. And that's what OA has brought to my life. I am no longer the jaywalker where I'm going out there and exercising 3 hours a day. I exercise because I love to exercise, but I exercise to my, as was shared earlier, to my age and to my activity level. I love marathons. I train for marathons, but I don't try to do 2 or 3 marathons a year. I do 1 marathon a year. I train for that marathon. I train sensibly for that marathon so I don't hurt myself. I eat sensibly for my health, for my weight, for everything that I need in nourishment. And I have a connection with my higher power. Most importantly, I have a connection with my higher power. And with that, I am so grateful to this program. I am so grateful for the life that I lead now because of this program, because of my connection, and because I can do what I need to do to be a healthy human being. And I am so happy, joyous, and free. Thank you all for listening to me. Thank you for letting me share. Thank you for your service. And thank you all for being here for me every morning. I love you. I'm grateful for you. And I'm very thankful for each one of you. And with that, I will pass.
Thank you, Jackie. I have a big smile on my face. Thank you. That was lovely. Next, we will come back to California, Jeanette G. Thank you, Jeanette.
Good morning. I'm Jeanette G., grateful recovering compulsive overeater from Orange County, California. And, you know, I've read this part of the Big Book over and over again in all these decades I've been here. And today this light bulb went off. Because I never really related to the jaywalker because I was like, oh, okay, whatever. I don't feel like I'm like that. But then yesterday at my work, while I was in a work meeting, a vendor came by and left me a, quote, gift, which was food that I don't eat. And when I came back out of the meeting, my colleagues were like, oh, my gosh, look what they left you. And I looked and I opened the box and I looked. And I felt that, like, that thrill that we were just talking about. So thank you, leader, for pointing out that word. And I was like, oh, wait a minute. Like, I had that thrill for a moment. And then I was like, I'm like, oh, you guys can have it. I'm choosing not to. And so they were very excited. So, but yeah, just because of reworking steps in this way. And right now I'm working on my 4th step and just every morning getting up and doing spiritual practices and listening. And that's, you know, for me, I become aware little by little, and I keep having awakenings about different things. And you know what, today I'm grateful that I didn't go for that thrill of spontaneous eating and eating a food that I hadn't planned and that I choose to not eat so I can stay connected to God. So I'm really grateful. I'm grateful for that intervention by God yesterday and for your intervention here at this meeting by just studying the Big Book so detailed that I can have these awakenings. So with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Jeanette G. in Orange County, California. Next, we have Dion R., and I believe you said you were also in Georgia, Dion. Thank you. Dion?
Hey, everyone. Good morning.
Thank you.
Can you hear me okay, moderator? Pretty good.
Yes, we can. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for your service, and everyone is showing up for service, sharing, and just being. Yes, the jaywalker. Oh, well. In recovery, that's not okay. Some people know, and someone said just substitute that with your drug of choice. And I'm like, did you keep going back? Did you cheat? And then with Overeaters Anonymous, at one time, my what I love about my God Squad in Ohio, when I was there, they shoot from the hip, and it would tell me, you you can't play ignorant. You know, you know that doesn't work. Yeah, so quit, you know, making excuses. But to get this, for a while, I thought I'd outsmart God and just get a replacement here and there. Well, if I just, you know, gave it away, I'll replace it me. I'll replace. And we'll be bionic, right? This is what my old fellows were saying. But the gift is, after all that, I still couldn't outrun me or the disease. And getting honest, putting that food down, I could put it down, but I had a hard time keeping it down because I didn't want to finish working the rest of the stuff. I don't feel like it. I did it once. You know, like, I got to do them every day, right? And the gift is, I get to do them every day. I get to recover. I get to release 170 pounds. I get to live and breathe. And it's all because of my submission and surrender to God. Not, you guys were God at one time because I didn't know a God that I loved. And you showed me, just be yourself, keep coming back, you know, and keep coming back. And it took 23 years for me to get 12 years. You think those 12 years ain't valuable to me? Oh, yeah. The enemy is a lot. My disease is a lot. So just being able to stand in the gap with someone else and say it works. It works if you work it, and it's okay if you ain't ready to work it because I still love you. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you all for allowing me.
Thank you, Deanna in Georgia. Okay, so I'm ready to take some more names. And again, just a reminder where we are. Bottom of page 37. We are talking today about the paragraph. Our behavior is as absurd, and the rest of the jaywalking paragraph. So if today is your third day, please let me know your first name, last initial, and the state or country that you're calling in from this morning.
Pam, California.
Okay, hold on. I heard Pam, and I heard a gentleman's name in California. So, Pam, why don't you start me off, please, with your last initial and where you're calling from.
Sure. Pam B. from California.
Thank you. And then I think I heard a gentleman's voice after that.
Yes, Evan Yu from California.
Evan Yu. Thank you, Evan. And I heard another lady's voice. Thank you.
Denise Kristen R. in TA in Pennsylvania.
Okay.
Denise
Kristen
P.
R. and then someone in Pennsylvania.
Denise.
P.
in
okay.
Pennsylvania.
Okay. So Pam, Evan, Kristen, Denise, and sorry, who?
Annabelle V. in Washington.
Annabelle, good morning. Thank you, Annabelle. All right, let me look at the top. All right, let's... Hi, Pearl. Okay, we're going to stop there and hopefully have time. And Pearl, I know you're in Arizona. So I have Pam B., Evan U., Kristen R., Denise C., Annabelle Z., and Pearl R. And we'll see how we go, and hopefully we can get everyone in. So if everybody can mute other than Pam B. Pam, take it away. Thank you.
Good morning. Thank you. I'm Pam B. from California. My thoughts on the jaywalkers. So first of all, I get nervous sharing on this line, and I was thinking, I wonder, because I'm pretty comfortable speaking in large groups, but I think it's because you do, let's see, you do know me. You know what it's like, and I think there's a part of me that wants you to think that I have it all together, you know. And I think the reason for that is because I want to be loved. But I'm working that out. In terms of the jaywalker, I can look at it and go, yeah, but I think of the alcoholics in my family. One, my brother died. My father took his life. My other brother's dying. And I'm like, I compare myself to them and go, yeah, but I'm, you know, high functioning. But the thing is, the way I relate is I want to be, when I think about jaywalking, I do jaywalk literally. And I get a thrill out of, in fact, my daughter-in-law, in some places, you know, in the country, in the world, it's like, cool, you know, it's not a big deal. But my daughter-in-law just can't believe that my husband and I will step out on a street. She'll go out of her way, you know, to go to the corner and wait for a light. And there's this thrill of like the rules don't apply. I'm safe. I know what I'm doing. And that way I do relate like with the way I eat. Like I don't have to go by the rules or even I can get, what can I get away with? What will I do without getting caught? Or what can I eat? And how can I hide this? from my family or my sponsor or myself, or I don't know. Anyway, that's how I relate. And then the other thing that came to mind was another part in the big book says, an alcoholic in his cups is an unlovely creature. Our struggles with them are various and strenuous, comic and tragic. One poor chap committed suicide in my home. We could not or would not see our way of life. And I'll tell you what, I may not have gone to the terrible visually where people can see me suffering, but I want to die. Like when I'm eating in my disease, I seriously do not want to live, and that's no way to live. Last year, I was at a shower I hosted a shower. In every picture, I was eating. I couldn't, I was trying to eat as much as I possibly could while it was in my home. And there wasn't one picture. My daughter hired a photographer, and they could not find one without me shoveling food in my mouth. And it was an unlovely sight. Anyway, grateful to be here.
Thank you.
I appreciate you.
Thank you, Pam B. Of course, thank you. Pam B in California, next staying in California, Evan U. Please unmute and share with us.
Hi, this is Evan U from California. So lovely to be here with you all. How wonderful it is that we can study this book and this literature that's changed so many people's lives, mine included. Yeah, like other people, you know, some of these other stories are such natural fits. The whiskey and the milk is like slam dunk home run. I totally get it. This one I've always had a little bit of trouble with, just a little bit slight of an odd angle. But the way it hit me today, and that's the beauty of going through this again and again, is it hits you differently every time. And today I look at this person, and I say this person's insane. That, you know, it's not an allergy of the body that's making him run in front of moving trucks and moving traffic. There's got to be something wrong with his mind. And you know, that for me was the critical piece that took me so long to get in OA. For so many years, I was still trying to exert control over food. I thought, you know, and even in trying to get abstinence, like it's got to be me. I've got to meet God halfway. And what happened for me finally in the final analysis is that ego piece, that muscle broke. And I literally could not control my food in any way. I knew there was no way I could control any single bite. So the only chance I had at recovery was for God to change me. That was it. So that insanity, the insanity of trying to control my food, the insanity of eating the way that I was eating, you know, and why was I eating the way that I was eating? What was the root cause? What am I really powerless over? Well, food was what I learned to use to deal with the intense emotional pain that I felt as a child. And so much of that pain has carried through and just stayed stuffed. And I've used food to medicate it, to treat it, to deal with it. Food is my solution. And it's a very poor solution. It's an insane solution to try to use food to change the way that I feel. You know, coming out feeling worthless, using food as a substitute is about as insane as trying to get my fun from running in front of traffic. But I didn't have a choice. I didn't have a choice because I didn't know any other way. And thank God for the 12 steps to come in and show me a different way of learning how to deal with the trauma, the pain, all the underneath stuff, the stuff that really caused the eating. Because it's not the allergy of the body that makes me pick up food. It's the suffering that's underneath. And by the grace of God today, I experience food neutrality. But, you know, they talk about in step one in the 12 and 12 that hitting that bottom is the main taproot of our society. Getting face to face with the fact that I'm powerless, that's the key and has been the key. And so, you know, every day that I live free of that, every day that I live free of that food obsession is just a gift and a miracle. So I'm grateful to be here. Thank you.
Thank you, Evan, you in California. Next, Kristen R. And Kristen, if you could tell us where you are calling from this morning. Thank you.
Sure. Good morning. Thank you for your service. My name is Kristen R. in Virginia. I am a compulsive overeater. I am the jaywalker. I have been calling this line for about 6 years now with the same share over and over again, that I am insane with going back out again and again. Just this past week, my therapist recommended a nutritionist who works with people with eating disorders. And this woman wants me to have what she calls, what is called food freedom, where I get used to eating any foods I want. And in that way, it loses its allure. So far, it's been a disaster for me. I had a plate of cookies this morning as a morning snack. I am the jaywalker. I keep going out and looking for another solution and another solution and another solution. It's like I'll do anything not to be this person, not to be an addict. And I don't know why. I don't know why I keep doing it. And I baffle myself. I just wanted to share today, just claim my seat, to just say I'm the jaywalker. And as usual, I'm always open to outreach calls. So I'm in the directory. Thank you very much. I pass.
Thank you very much, Kristen R. in Virginia. Denise C. in Pennsylvania, good morning.
Thank you, Deb, for your service. Thank you, everyone on the call. This is This is Denise P. as in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. I am very grateful for the clear thinking that's coming, because for me, when I want to share, I have to deal with my convolutedness. And so I wrote down what thoughts came at the beginning of the meeting. So hopefully they're clear. I have heard this in the industry that I was in. I used this story. It made so much sense. But to apply it to my food and my food recovery, I likened it to the way that I drive. That my thrill, what I get, that second reward, I leave late so I can drive like a race car driver on the road. And that thrill, though I'm taking the risk to have the cops behind me, after all these years, I still do it. I was in a program that helped see why my chronic being late. Well, when I look past that so that I could perform more at a job, or what my passion or my talent was, is I would have to go through this thrill. And it, when I had to take it apart from the serious part of being late, I saw that rush would be there. And so that is damaging me. And I have that to work on. But I was speaking with the sponsee. I am recovered by the grace of God here in recovered compulsive eater in Vision. And she was looking at step one, and she had mentioned one of the podcasts. And she'd said something about, I don't understand about the pain, what he is trying to say. And out of that came, by listening to the other ways that she had gotten something from the book in her area, I have written today here that I embrace my pain of committing emotional suicide. And my compulsive eating is my right to myself, to harm myself. And when I get the power to continue acting as my own small letter God, this behavior will still just entice and just flare up. So coming to believe in a power greater and outside of myself will restore this part of my compulsive chronic go for the rush. I don't know if I need to put a little sign in my car and say you're working on step two when you're driving. Something that my power will give. Thank you so much for letting me share, but I do believe that my holy power has the solution. Thanks for all listening. I pass.
Thank you, Denise P. in Pennsylvania. Next, we're going to go to Washington State. Good morning, Annabelle.
Good morning, Susan. Good morning, everyone. My name is Annabelle B. I'm in Washington State. I'm a recovering compulsive overeater. And for years and years, I was like, this jaywalking story is so dumb. Like, who thinks it's thrilling to step in front of traffic? But if I think about it as getting away with something, someone said that earlier on the share, I'm like, oh, that's exactly me. That's how it relates to my compulsive eating. I'm going to get away with it this time. And kind of getting high on doing something that's wrong. And it's a thrill seeking. Maybe the ridiculousness is the part that, like, he thinks it's fun to literally step out in front of traffic, but to get away with, you know, walking across the street where I'm not supposed to, eating just a little bit of this or that when I really shouldn't, you know, when it's knowing when it's actually an alcoholic food. I never get away with it, but at first it does work for a while. And it's like the guy, well, you can come across traffic and, you know, you won't necessarily get hit. But when you do get hit, it hurts. And it's interesting because with this disease, denial kicks in so quickly and it tells me it's not that bad, or it even, like, I don't even notice. I'm in such denial, I don't even notice that if I'm suffering, it has anything to do with the food. It's all their fault to know it's this circumstance. But my obsession with the compulsive eating is what keeps me, blocks me from my higher power. And so, you know, the last thing that happens is I just had this horrible injury to myself and remorse, but I can't stop doing it. I can't stop injuring myself. And my heart really goes out to the share before me about just not being able to stop injuring myself. And the only thing that worked for me is to literally just say in every moment, God, I'm yours. You do it. I cannot do this. You have to do this. And my current sponsor has been so amazing because she just said to me, you're just too smart for your own good. And to just stop thinking about it. Just let God. What does God say about it? And, you know, when I started living that way these last weeks, I'm just doing my 10th step every night, just every time during the day, if I have a food thought, to just say, nope, I can't do this, God. You have to take control here. And it really does work. And so thank you for this meeting and everyone who does this service. I'll pass.
Thank you. Excuse me, Annabelle Zed in Washington State. Next, we're going to go to Arizona. Good morning, Pearl R. Pearl, star one to unmute.
Hi, this is Pearl R. Hi. I can relate to the jaywalker in the fact that no matter what, I'm going to have that first bite, even though I know the consequences are going to be devastating. I was to the point in my life that I could not wipe my butt. I could not stand up for 15 minutes without my feet going into extreme cramping and muscle spasms. And still, I would still jaywalk. I would still go ahead and take that first bite when it cost me everything. Even though I couldn't breathe, I couldn't walk, I couldn't function as a human being whatsoever, I was still going to have that first bite. So today I must surrender to God and to my sponsor. That's the only way I will not be a jaywalker, is if I surrender to God and to my sponsor and I follow this program and I do what I'm asked to do. And I don't question it, and I don't try to figure it out on my own. Because when I try to figure it out on my own, I am just like the jaywalker. I'm going to be hit by that bus every single time, no matter what. And nothing will stop me, nothing. So with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Okay, we probably have time for one more. First voice I hear.
Karen KZ in Missouri.
Karen, go for it. Thank you.
Yes, I'm so grateful to everybody who shared on this meeting, and I'm always grateful for this meeting because these shares come alive for me. I mean, I didn't really like the jaywalker story either. I couldn't relate to it. It seemed crazy to me. And as I've listened to people share today, I can really identify about the crazy things that I did too, that, oh, this won't hurt, just one won't hurt, and not just me saying it, but everybody else telling me it. Oh, you're not having any fun. And So, and again, I think for me, the greatest gift for me of this program, vision has been such a gift, the way that we study this big book, and realizing that it really isn't me doing any of this. It really is me asking a power greater than me to take over. It's really, I love in the ninth step, the promise that says, God is doing for me what I could not do for myself. And I thought I had to do everything. I thought I had to do it. It was all up to me, all up to me, all about me. And that's my selfishness. That's my, all of my character defects are all about me. And what this program has taught me is if I invite God to take over my thoughts, my words and my actions, and I trust God to do that. When difficulties come up, I don't try to figure it out because I can't. Life offers some tough things. And gratitude is another gift of my program. Giving thanks for all the blessings in my life changes everything. So I'm just so grateful to be a part of this program and for all of you who are a part of it, because every person's share touches me in a different way. Everybody matters. With that, I pass.
Thank you. And we still have a bit more time than I thought. Anybody else have a burning desire? We definitely have time for one more.
Renee from Michigan.
Go ahead, Renee. Thank you. And give us your last initial. Thanks.
Renee, D as in dog. Today is day... Sorry.
I can't hear you, Renee. Oh, sorry. Sorry, go ahead. I'm sorry. No, it's okay. I apologize.
Today is day 11 for me. And I just wanted to say that I appreciate everybody who's shared, and I have struggled for over 20 years with taking my will back. And I never really understood the jaywalking analogy either. But from all the shares today, I realized several things, that this disease is taken away. My health and basically my life. So I'm just thankful that I realized I need to humble myself and ask God to help me more instead of always trying to do it myself. And I just thank everybody for being there, and I hope you all have a good day. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Renee, and apologize for interrupting. So, Renee D. in Michigan, hopefully you're on the phone list. Okay, here we go. Well, thank you, Team Thursday, Sherry Z. for starting us out, Dion R., Margaret D., Patrick O., Kathy P. Please stay on if you need a sponsor or you are an available sponsor. Alex K. and Leslie M. will take over at the end of the meeting. We will now close with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Dion R., will you please lead us out in a vision for you? Thank you.
Yes, thank you. I'm grateful. Yes. Thank you all for sharing. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right. And great events will come to you. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit. and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.